Do you want your products seen by more buyers on Amazon, Etsy, and other marketplaces? Do you want to get more traffic, make more sales, and scale your brand? Welcome to the Signalytics Podcast, Signal Code Unlocked, where we discuss what signals are needed to send to your customers, to the algorithms, to the ad platforms, in order to get your product seen, converting, and profiting fast. With your host, former top 50 seller on all of Amazon, the Professor Howard Tai. This is the Signalytics Podcast, Signal Code Unlocked.
All right, hello and assalamu alaikum everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. And we have Liran here today. Thank you so much, Liran, for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. Thank you, Howard.
This my pleasure. This is our podcast. Of course, I have to be here.
Great, awesome. So, Liran, we would love to have a little bit your introduction first, and then we will move on to topic.
Okay, sure. So, I started selling on Amazon in 2014. Built some of my own brands. Today, I still partner on one brand. And the last few years, I focused on helping brands scale on Amazon. With Incrementum Digital, primarily we help brands with Amazon advertising, DSP, listing optimization, influencer external traffic. And we're managing millions of dollars a month in ad spend across many brands. So we get to, have certain insights, into accounts that could be helpful.
All right, awesome. So let's move to today's topic, because it is interesting for everyone who is watching. So please let us know what you have today for us.
Well, I think I sent you several things that that we can talk about. I think one of the things that you highlighted here was the PPC cannibalizing organic sales. So I'll share a couple of interesting stories about cannibalization, and then how to look at it. One interesting story is we audit a lot of accounts. Typically, almost always before working with someone, we'll audit their ads account. And we audited an account. And one thing that I saw was really interesting. One of the things that we look at is 12 months of history. And we look at the percentage of sales of advertising and percentage of sales of organic. And what was very interesting about this account was that in 2021, they had about 60 to 70% of their sales coming organic and about, 30 to 40 coming from ads. And then as we look at this year, most of the months they had 60 to 70% of sales coming from ads and about 30% coming from organic. And we just had a meeting with this client, maybe it was a few weeks ago. We audited their account, weren't working with them. Now they started working with us. And I said to them, what happened in January? Because something must have happened, your sales shifted from, a lot of sales on organic to a lot of sales on ads. As a result, your TACOS is higher, and you have less profitability in the business. And he said, that's a good question. In January, we decided to take one of our, their top product, which is mainly driving all the sales. And instead of having 8 different listings, they merged all the designs into one listing. So basically the product they sell is like an alarm clock for kids, and they had different designs, right? So imagine one is a puppy and one is a bear and one is a whatever, Mickey Mouse or whatever, right? Different designs. So this is not one of those things where it's clear cut that you should have separate listings or variations. You can kind of go either way. It's not like size or color that I would say should generally be variations, and you can kind of go either way with it. Kind of like somebody selling wall art, you're going to have people have different designs on one listing or they have separate listings. So they combined all the listings and they ended up, the reason they did it is to consolidate all the reviews, and they ended up having about 5,000 reviews. But I think one of the unintended consequences that happened is that they started to lose a lot of real estate on the page, especially this brand too, because they're ranking well organically among those listings, and they had a good amount of branded searches. So if you think about your branded search, what happens when you lose real estate? So now when somebody's searching the brand name, instead of seeing let's say, 4 spots at the top with their paid ads, and then another 8 spots with organic, and taking up a good percentage of the top of the page, now they're seeing 1 paid post, and they're seeing 1 organic, because when you have variations, Amazon will not show more than 1 variation organically, and they won't show more than 1 variation on paid. So the most you can have is, you know, maybe the top sponsored brand spot, top sponsored product spot, and maybe a top organic. But now you have a lot of competitors, and if you're getting branded searches and you have a lot of, you know, competitors selling similar products at a lower price, this is like the brand, and then there's a lot of lower cost competitors from China and elsewhere. And so people are searching for it. They see something. They might not even realize that it's a different brand because it looks kind of the same, you know, and there are other brands with good reviews, and they just lost, you know, a lot of organic sales, and more sales went to their, you know, PPC, because the people that were looking for the brand, I guess, saw the brand at the top spot and clicked on it, but maybe didn't see it in the rest of the page. And so this is definitely one thing that, you know, I'm not saying that you should not consolidate listings for the purpose of review, but you should understand what is your current ranking across the ASINs. If you have some ASINs that don't rank well at all, right, that may not be bad to take and combine. But if you have some ASINs that are ranking really well, you may not want to lose that real estate. So my advice to them was, what you should do now is start, separate all of them, right? And kind of see where you are. For example, they have 4.5 stars plus, but if you have now some of them that end up separating and they have less than 4.5 stars, well, that you may want to combine with something else to bring it to 4.5. If you have some that have low review count, that you may want to combine. But if you have some that are ranking really well, you want to leave them. And so the end result, what I told them to do is they need to test, and maybe the end result will be not separating it back to 8 listings, but maybe they'll have 4 or 5 listings, and, you know, 1 or 2 will have, you know, a couple of variations. They'll end up taking more real estate and maybe benefiting from the ones that had low review count. So this is one case, and I'll share one other with you. This is one case where you want to think about what are the consequences. It's not always a no-brainer to combine listings, and it's also not always a no-brainer to separate the listings, because once you separate, you have to see if you lost any sales due to conversion rate. If you lost reviews by separating listings and you got more real estate, did you also lose conversion rate? I think in their case, a lot of their variations already had like 1,000 or close reviews. So I don't think they gained a lot in terms of the conversion. And a lot of people only saw one design, especially when the product is a design kind of thing. You want more of them to show up. I was just having a conversation yesterday with a brand that's launching innovative product. And actually the product that they're launching, they have patent on, it's kind of cool. They're launching a wall art, right? Like you see a lot of these wall arts, but their design, they have a Bluetooth speaker on it. Okay. So you can hang it on your wall and it has a Bluetooth speaker. They have a patent and they have 54 designs. And one of the things we're talking about is launch and launch budgets. And should you launch on one listing with all 54 designs, and should you launch separate? And there's no clear cut answer. I think you need more budget for sure if you're gonna launch it with separate listings. But one thing for sure is it's a design based thing. And when somebody searches, if they don't see a design they like in the search results, they're not gonna click and they're not gonna see the other designs. And so this is something you really need to think through. And I think our answer initially, because of budget, will be to launch one listing, but the goal will be to over time to separate them, because I think the only reason to do it is because of budget and consolidating reviews, but it's not the best approach. If they had the budget, I would launch it by size or by something like, you know, that maybe have 6 or 7 listings instead of one at least, and maybe eventually 54. So that's one case. I'll share another case with you where you want to understand if you are cannibalizing your organic sales from PPC. And what are some of the things you want to evaluate? So the first thing is, I would say that there's a good chance that if you're not like at the top of search for both ads and organic, let's say you're, you know, top 2 positions for ads, The reason why I say two is because mobile only shows the top two positions. And then maybe you're in the top three for organic. You're probably not cannibalizing your sales with ads from organic. But if you are in the top paid spot and you're also among the top two or three organic spots, you might be cannibalizing sales, right? You might have just given Amazon more money towards sales instead of organically. And these are some of the things you want to test. So we had a client that came to us, and when they came to us, they were a supplement brand. New owner bought it. Brand's doing about $2 million a month in sales and doing very well. And they're weren't spending a lot of ads on all the products. And one of the products had a very low tacos, and they said, okay, you can get a little more aggressive. Let's kind of test it. So we took this one keyword that was the main keyword, and previously they weren't at top of search, and we got more aggressive on it and we drove more sales. And what we wanted to understand is, are we, you know, cannibalizing sales? So we drove more sales. So we knew we're not cannibalizing 100% of the sales because sales were higher, but also understanding what is the cost. So in their case, what we did was we looked at brand analytics. So one of the benefits you have is if you are at the top and you're at the top three most clicked, you can use brand analytics to understand what's happening. What are the changes? So before we did this, they were getting about 20% of the conversions on the page by being in the top spot, number one spot organically. And after we did this, they were getting about 40% of the conversions on page one. We still maybe had cannibalization, but we saw that they were getting incremental sales, right? And that the sales were growing. The next thing they wanted to analyze, though, and what they did was we ran this for a month and they compared it to the month before. And they analyzed it and they said, yes, we are getting more sales, but we are not as profitable. We're not as profitable. Even though we're getting more sales, the cost to get those sales is too much. And the ACOS was pretty good. The ACOS was like 30s, which for supplements, really good. But they had, one of the things they had was overwhelmingly more reviews than the competitors, okay? And that may be a factor too, because, you know, let's say you're going to go for the top of search. They had 3,000 reviews. And the other four there had, one had like 1,000, then the other two had like 600 and 500, okay? And then they're in the number one spot organically. So people are generally going to scroll. And if they see in the top four spots, 500 reviews, 600, 700, and then the first organic is 3,000, they're going to click on that. But if they see in the sponsored somebody else who has 5,000, right, you may lose them to that one. So one of the other factors and things you want to monitor is, who are your competitors? So what we did was we looked at the before and after. They did drive more sales. Perhaps some was cannibalized. But at the end of the day, they looked at their overall profitability on that product. And the profitability, even though they had more sales, the profit went down because of the increased spend on advertising. And so what we did was we said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to lower the bid intentionally on this keyword. And we're going to make sure that we are still on page one with the ad, but not at the top of search. So we're further down the page. And now the only time somebody should be clicking on the sponsored is if they already passed the organic position, right? And it's really only incremental sales, and we're spending less money on the ads. So you can use basically brand analytics and you can test, right? And ultimately it depends on several factors. Like we said, what are the reviews of the top competitors? Are you in those top two spots paid? Because those are the ones that kind of show up on top on mobile, the top four on desktop, but the top two on mobile. And what is your goal? Is it growth? Or is it profitability? In their case, if the goal was growth, I mean, they were still making a good profit and we were growing sales, but they're already the leader, right? They don't need to be extremely aggressive to go after other people. They already had a couple thousand more reviews than the next competitor. So they were more concerned with the profit. And so you have to understand, answer the question, and then kind of make a decision. And through testing, you can kind of see if you are cannibalizing. So I think you want to look at your sponsored rank and keyword and organic rank positions and understand, you know, if you're cannibalizing, and then decide what your goal is. And then also, if you're going to A/B test, run something and check the before and after and test the overall profitability of the account and what, you know, what you got out of it. So this is one example. The other example was you made some kind of change in the business. You didn't pay attention until 6 months later, when we pointed out to you why PVC sells 70%, right? So when you make a change, monitor the results after, monitor the metrics, the tacos, the PPC sales, the organic sales, and then you'll see that the change you made could have had an effect. And again, you may want to test the other way around. So these are a couple examples of, you know, things that sellers do, and sometimes they're not necessarily paying attention. We've definitely seen cases where people get more aggressive and their top line sales don't grow as much, but they're just moving money from organic to paid, right? Because there's so many paid spots. So you want to make sure you're paying attention to that, and you're not just giving Amazon money and making your business less, you know, profitable. So understanding the metrics and what your goals are really important.
All right, great. So this is a great info. And guys, please, if you have any questions, please put down on the comment section, and we will be taking care at the end of this podcast. So, like, Leron, what is, like, your take on what is the good ratio between organic and advertising sales?
It's a good question. And it's a question that is evolving. And the reason why I say that is, if you would have asked me 2 or 3 years ago, I would have given a different answer than I'm giving today, because Amazon is definitely prioritizing advertising, and there's just more ad spots, more placements. So in the past, I would have said, probably shouldn't have more than 50% of your sales coming from ads. But today, I can say more and more of accounts that we see have 60% of sales coming from ads. And so I don't think it's necessarily in all cases the seller's fault. I think it's Amazon's intentional. This is Amazon's goal, you know, more pay to play. We do see some very strong brands still have 30% of their sales with organic too. And it, actually, I wouldn't say that's always the best goal, because what if you can go to 35%, drive a lot more sales and generate more profit? It's also possible. So you need to find the right balance. But I would say that, you know, if you're over 70%, you probably have problems in your business with tacos and profitability. And that's, you know, probably not healthy. I would say ideally, you know, 50 to 60% is what you have for paid, and organic should be, you know, 40 to 50%. If it's better, good, but it's gotten harder. So, you know, I don't want somebody watching this to look and say, hey, I have 65% sales in PPC in my business. Like, what's wrong? Amazon has made it a lot more challenging. If you have a low ACoS, which means you probably have a lower tacos, like, it's potentially fine. But if your cost to acquire customer is high and you don't have like repeat purchase, then you're probably going to have some margin issues in the business. So, you know, it's getting more challenging for sure to bring down, you know, that number.
All right.
This is also where, if you are in that position, testing is definitely important. What happens if you do decrease your spend by 10%, right? What happens if what are the impacts? And some of the best time to do that, for example, if the summer is a slower period for your brand, that's pretty good time to test without, you know, necessarily a lot of risk, right? So you should kind of be testing, especially if your tacos is, you know, 20% plus, and again, you don't have like a repeat purchase in the business, you know, you want to see how you can bring that down.
I guess I kind of want to see your take on this tacos. What is the tacos? Everyone used to say like 10% tacos.
Yeah.
What would you agree would that be nowadays?
I mean, yeah, so it's kind of the same thing. Like, in the past, I would have said 10% tacos, and today I'm seeing a lot more people have a tacos. So our average, I'm going to try to look at it now while I talk to you, but I think our average across all our clients is about 13 to 14% is the, I'm just looking at the last month across all our clients, which is a pretty high, like, our client sales in the last month are $68 million with a tacos of 13.4. So just as an example, right? But that crosses many categories. Some less competitive, some more competitive. I would say, you know, I'm seeing a lot of people in the 15 to 20% range, and that's become more normal today. So again, I would say if you're over 20 and you're not in high growth mode, right? Like, you should analyze it on a product basis, because if you're launching a lot of new products, those are going to have 40, 50, 60% topos in the beginning, in the first month. So I would make sure you're looking at it on a product level. And on a product level, more mature products, generally today, I would say 10 to 20. And we see a lot between 15 and 20. Again, our average is 13 across all our accounts. So if you have mature products, I would say definitely want it to be under 20%.
Yeah, like before, like you could actually see a lot of organic positioning on your PDP, product display page. Mm-hmm. Like now it's like I can't even find anything anywhere right. that we can find organic anymore.
Right.
So, you know, I don't see where else can we, that's why you probably see the tacos or us going up more and more, because, you know, there's nowhere else you can put our listing without having to pay. And like right. you said, top of search, what is on top of search? It's only like display your brand display ads and also the top 4-3 sponsored ads.
Right.
So,
yeah, it's definitely getting more challenging, and I don't think it's going away. You know, I think Amazon wants to have more advertising. You know, maybe Buy with Prime is another avenue to get more data and run more outside traffic. Like Amazon is doing a lot to increase their ad revenue. One other thing I wanted to add was that another place you could be cannibalizing sales from organic to PPC is on sponsored display, especially if you're using NDSP, especially if you're using VCPM campaigns that are impression based. So if you're doing retargeting, let's say, and it's impression based, you are scrolling, you see a product, maybe you add it to cart or you see it, you get distracted, you're on a website, whatever, you or back to Amazon, you see you're on another listing, it displays on top is the product you saw before. 2 hours later, you come back, you didn't click it. 2 hours later, you come back and you buy the product. Since you viewed, that attribution will go to sponsored display or DSP, not organic. Now, the question is, did viewing that ad influence you to buy the product? Sometimes yes, sometimes no, right? So there is some cannibalization going on. If you do DSP, you can minimize that by negating retargeting for 24 hours or 48 hours from the time somebody viewed the listing. In sponsored display, you cannot do that. So if you're using sponsored display VCPM, there's probably some or a lot of for retargeting, I would say, not necessarily, you know, I would not use VCPM so much for like, I would not use it for product targeting or anything like that. But for retargeting, that's the only option. And again, there's some level of cannibalization. Now, if you're seeing amazing ROAS, if you're seeing a 10x ROAS, it's good, because let's just say half is cannibalized, you're still getting a 5x return. But if the ROAS is not that strong, I would say test, pause it, and see if you increase your top line sales at all, right? And if you're not increasing your top line sales, then, you know, it's probably a lot of cannibalization going on. So that's another area that can be moving sales just from organic to paid that should really be organic.
I see. You know how like SP and PC, back in the days, they were this thing called, you know, attribution was kind of like off. You're getting double attribution for both. Do you see that still?
So there's no double attribution, meaning today you can only, there can only be attribution to one or the other. Amazon is trying to solve that with the Amazon Marketing Cloud, which is supposed to show you the full...
Yeah. You're,
can you hear me?
Yeah, I could hear you now.
Yeah.
I muted him. Today, Amazon has this Amazon Marketing Cloud, which it's only if you're using like really really helpful if you're doing like OTT or online video ads or very top of funnel things. But essentially, today, you don't have necessarily always the full story, meaning it doesn't get double attributed. So let's say somebody searches, let's say you're doing some audience targeting in DSP. Somebody views your ad. They then go to Amazon, they search your brand name, they click on your sponsored ad. The attribution goes to sponsored ads, but you won't necessarily know that that person started with an audience targeting DSP ad. And what happens is if they go to Amazon, find a listing organically, and then they get then it will get attributed to the DSP. However, if they go to Amazon, find the listing organically, then they get retargeted with a bottom of funnel retargeting ad, and by the attribution will go to the bottom of the funnel retargeting and not to the top of the funnel where they started. So that means that when you're doing this top of funnel advertising, audience targeting, online video ads, you should not look, the metric that you should be looking at is not ROAS. It is, people look at, for example, estimated cost per detail page view. And we see basically somewhere between 50 cents to $2 for a detail page view from top of funnel. Or that's kind of a, that's a good range to be in. It's kind of like cost per click, right? That's a decent range depending on your niche to be in. So you should be looking at more of how much does it cost me to get somebody that's looking at this to actually view my page, not ROAS, because the ROAS attribution will often go to retargeting or sponsored products and not necessarily to, you know, to the top of the funnel. I think as the Amazon Marketing Cloud develops more and more, it will become more widely available and you'll be able to see that that person started with, you know, top of funnel. So that's kind of what Amazon is rolling out, this Amazon Marketing Cloud that you may have kind of heard about to, and essentially the goal, why is Amazon doing it? They want you to spend more money on top of funnel DSP. But if you don't understand the full journey, you may not realize that that person started with, you know, viewing this ad and ended up buying the product and attribution goes somewhere else. So, but, you know, to kind of add to that, I would say that top of funnel advertising is more for people who are very focused on growth, on top line revenue and brand awareness, and not so much ROAS focused. So for example, we have a client that is funded by venture capital. They're in the pet supplement space and they're spending money on top of funnel. Now in pet supplements, to be acquired, actually they don't look at your, I mean, they look, but you can be acquired in a pet supplement brand just with revenue, and EBITDA is a secondary measure. The valuations are more based on revenue than EBITDA. So they're really focused on acquiring customers, and also they're getting that brand visibility. They're in Target, they're in some other stores. They're selling on D2C, so they're kind of this overall goal of brand awareness. And one interesting thing with D2C is that you can also drive traffic from Amazon audiences to your website. And kind of what's cool with the Buy with Prime is that, you know, now you can get access to Buy with Prime and you can actually target Amazon audiences, send them to your landing page on your website with Buy with Prime, and you're targeting Amazon customers to buy on your D2C website. And you're sending them to that page, and you can put a pixel on your site too, and then you can retarget those people as well. So it's going to get pretty cool. You could always do that, but now with Buy with Prime, you could actually send Amazon customers to a Buy with Prime page, and that's pretty cool. I think I'm sure brands are going to start sort of testing that, and you can use that Amazon audience shopper data, which is the best data anybody has on shopper behavior, better than Facebook, better than Google, is Amazon. They know everything you buy. They have your history. They know if you just had a baby because you started buying formula, or right. They know everything about you, and they know what you watch on Prime, right? Like they know so much about you. They probably listen to your Alexa at home, right? So, you know, doing this, I think it's going to get interesting with D2C and Buy with Prime, you know, together. So again, Amazon taking more of the pie of not just, you know, Amazon shopping, but overall e-commerce shopping.
So maybe you can kind of like explain to the audience, your last post recently was regarding like a marketplace pulse about, yes, Shopify and Amazon. Maybe some of our listeners haven't heard it yet. So maybe you could talk about it.
So some interesting things have happened, right, in the last, let's say, 6 months. So one of the big ways that Shopify makes their money is from merchant processing. Okay. They're charging, you know, I mean, they don't get all this, right, because money goes to Visa, MasterCard, and people in between, but you know, every time somebody shops on the site, there's like between 2.5% and 2.9% fee plus 30 cents or something per transaction that is charged. Shopify gets part of that money. And a lot of the money they make comes from that merchant processing. And then Shopify also bought Deliverr this year. So one of the things they want to monetize is fulfillment and making money off storage and fulfillment, and giving access to more Shopify sellers to, you know, fast shipping, right, through delivery, fast fulfillment. So Amazon, in the meanwhile, goes and launches Buy with Prime. What is Buy with Prime? You could take this code, put it on your website, and, you know, you can always do multi-channel fulfillment and ship from your Amazon inventory. But now, if it's a Prime customer, they can see Buy with Prime, click a button, check out, and then Amazon will, and check out with Amazon Pay, and Amazon will fulfill that order in 1 to 2 days. So what's essentially happening here? Number one, Amazon just took merchant processing away from Shopify and took it away, right? The merchant processing now gets done by Amazon. Number two, Amazon just took away fulfillment from Shopify, from Deliver, and now they're doing the fulfillment. And number three, Amazon is taking fees for this. They take a fulfillment fee, they take they're doing the merchant processing, and they're also taking a small percentage of the sale. I can't say exactly because it's under NDA, but if you message me and we talk about it, we can talk about it. But Amazon's also taking a small percentage of the sale. So Amazon now is going to take a piece of all of e-commerce, and they're taking away that revenue source for Shopify for merchant processing and fulfillment. And they're taking a piece of, you know, they want to take a piece of the whole pie. They don't want to just be, you know, Amazon. Now, another theory, I had Paul Raffleson, an attorney who's fought Amazon on a lot of things in court, like the sales tax and when they go after people for price gouging and stuff. And one of the things he said, which I asked Amazon about, and the guy said, well, probably is true, is that he said one of the reasons Amazon opened up this Buy with Prime to merchants online is that essentially with the regulators on top of Amazon, it's like Amazon owns the railroad. Okay. If you think about, like, you know, years ago in the US, and you had these oligarchs, a few people that owned kind of oil and railroads. And it was monopolies, right? They own the railroad. So Amazon kind of owns operations and fulfillment, really, of e-commerce, right? They develop the entire infrastructure. And the government could make the case that says, you know what? You can't own the railroad. We need to break this up, and you need to make this widely available to everybody. So now essentially it's a little bit of like getting the regulators off our back. Look, Prime, it's available to everybody now. Anybody can use Prime. Our fulfillment's available to anyone. If Macy's wants to compete with us and wants to use our fulfillment centers and get 1 to 2 day shipping, well, Macy's can do that. We've opened it up. So it's another kind of part of the strategy, and it's really going against Shopify. So Shopify now, you're starting to see them make some moves, like almost like they've said in the past, they will never become a marketplace. All the moves that they're making are heading in that direction. Okay. They're trying to, what that Marketplace Post article was about is Shopify starting to brand Shopify, which in the past they were always in that underneath, behind the scenes, right? They're like just a platform. Consumers don't really know Shopify, only the merchants do, and they just think they're on a website, right? They don't know that behind everything is this platform. Now what they're doing is, you know, they're gonna give incentives to customers if you use Shop Pay. You know, if you use the app, to buy stuff and discover stuff, the consumers are going to get more benefits, and they can feature your store and everything else. One thing they're doing too is they're launching something called Shopify Audiences. So Shopify Audiences, again, they said they're always going to be behind the scenes. They're not in the advertising business, but now they're basically going to let you take advantage, especially because I think a lot of Shopify sellers lost a lot when Facebook made these privacy changes with iOS. iOS made these changes. So now there's Shopify Audiences where Shopify says, we understand the behavior of the consumer that are shopping on Shopify. We know that these people are, you know, they buy baby stuff or they buy this, right? Just like Amazon has that data, they're going to like take that data and then upload it, connect with Facebook, let's say, or TikTok, and be able to target those audiences. But a lot of the moves that they're making, they're trying to highlight sellers in the shop app for consumers that have 1 to 2 day shipping and give them like a badge and all this stuff, because they want sellers to start to adopt, deliver, and all these things offering. Like, I feel like before it's too late, right? Before, like, all these people implement Buy with Prime and Amazon kind of takes a lot of market share in the merchant processing and the fulfillment. It's kind of a battle right now. It's kind of the way I see it. And I wouldn't be surprised if 2 or 3 years from now, Shopify has a marketplace. Somebody commented, I think it was Steve Simonson on LinkedIn, who's coming out with the course of how to rank on Shopify, right? Because it seems like things are evolving there, where they're doing more and more to make Shopify a brand and maybe have some kind of advertising, right? Top of search on the Shopify app or whatever for searches and things like that, where there will be some kind of ranking and ads and those things. And they really get to go up against Amazon, right? If they, you know, if they do that. So I think things will be getting interesting there. I saw one thing you posted too was about NFTs and products. Well, Shopify already allows you to sell NFTs through their platform. And I posted there, a friend of mine, David Guillaume, who is co-founder of Mary Ruth Organics, just had Gary Vee come on his board. And now I posted a link there on your post. Now Gary Vee, on their site, there's a page, Vee Friend plus Mary Ruth Organics. She like signed a bunch of bottles and like—
Yeah, 20 bottles.
Yeah, and if you get one of the bottles with like a signature, you also get an NFT from Gary Vee with it or whatever. So like, you know, using NFTs to drive, you know, to drive sales. And Shopify already has some of these capabilities. I can see that, you know, that side of things adopting, they're already there faster than Amazon, right? So I think things are going to get interesting over the next couple of years between Shopify and Amazon.
I mean, for Shopify, you know, they probably brand themselves as not being a marketplace so that they can probably eventually do like have like the government off their back for a while for monopoly and stuff as well. So, you know, that's why probably reason why Shopify letting Amazon do the buy with Prime.
Well, I'm not even sure if Shopify can control it, but you know, Shopify also risks losing merchants, like BigCommerce off, you know, allows it. So, you know, if they try to block it. And the other thing is that, you know, Shopify has always said we're not a marketplace because they're kind of the anti-Amazon, right? They always said they don't want to be a marketplace, but a lot of the steps they're taking indicate that at some point they may pivot. But imagine if you could be in a marketplace and own the customer, right? Like, what if it becomes a better version of Amazon where, okay, it's a marketplace, but we don't suspend you. We, you know, like you still get the customer email, you know, and Shopify creates this brand where through delivery, you can get one and 2 day shipping like Amazon, and you get to keep the customer data. I don't know, could get interesting. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Shopify has said several times they don't want to become a marketplace, but they keep taking steps that indicate that, you know, starting to brand themselves to consumers indicates to me they want to send consumers more to the Shopify app and to things where there is, you know, component of marketplace.
Zeeshan, do you have any questions? I don't want to take up all the questions here on our side.
No. I think like we have 15 minutes left, and let's take some audience questions now.
So, Leon, so can you read the question so that?
Yeah. What about products with limited keywords? 80% of the sale comes from one keyword, and I'm ranked in the top 5. I have to run ads against top of search. If I don't, I lose sales, and if I do, I lose profits. What does he recommend? I mean, look, I think products with limited keywords in general is a problem. You know, it's obviously now it's late because you already have the product, but is this, I would also ask you, is this a keyword that has like a ton of traffic, or is this a very limited product? But
so let me just give you a background what is happening here in Pakistan. Yeah. So you can have a better idea on it. Like, people over here are launching like low price products, like $6, $7, $8 price point products, and they do have—
Howard is already shaking his head.
Yeah, and they have limited keywords, and the keywords on which the top like one or two has the most search volume. And on top of that, the another problem is the profitability in terms of dollars is really low. Like,
PPC is very challenging on very low products.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the profitability is $1, and the PPC, like CPC of the keyword, is like $3, $2.50, even $5.
In this case, I would say just focus on profits. I mean, it doesn't make sense to you know, unless, again, unless you're trying to grow still, like the reviews and, you know, everything else. But if you already have that, just focus on, you know, not being in the top of search for ads. If it's too expensive, pull back and, you know, see if you maintain your ranking, you know, and focus on profits, because you kind of said, you know, unless the profits are good enough, if you are still on top of search, but if you're losing money or making a very, very small margin at top of search, then I would say you have to pull back from that. But, you know, maybe product targeting is another option here, as I'm just thinking out loud. If there's limited keywords, but there's a lot of competitors, let's say the keyword has a lot of search volume, then I would try product targeting. It could be cheaper. Sponsored display product targeting, sponsored product, you know, product targeting, and see if that's a cheaper way to, you know, to get sales. But in general, I don't think this is a good model, launching products with a low price.
Agree.
It's very, very difficult, and you're going to be up against a lot more Chinese sellers. Anybody can enter your market in any time because, you know, with $1,000, I can source a bunch of inventory. So it's not a, I don't think it's a good, it's maybe good to get your feet wet, not put a lot of risk in the beginning and learn. But after that, you should get out of that, of markets like that. It's not, you want to follow what other successful sellers are doing, and successful sellers are not launching $7 products.
Yeah, so I have been like preaching this for quite a long time here in Pakistan.
I understand why, because, you know, the incomes are not as high in Pakistan, and, you know, hard to go source a product where it costs you $10 or $7, $5 to $7, and you need 1,000 units. And so people are launching what they can. So I understand it. I would say you want to really focus on differentiating bundles. You know, don't launch what's easy for somebody else to launch. I have a question: how to target and optimize rest of page conversion. Why is product getting more conversion on product pages and not on main keyword top of search? So that's a good question. I think it really depends on who your competitors are at top of search, and also the type of product it is. One of the things you can look at in brand analytics is look at the top three most clicked. Are they at the top of the page? Are they further down? Is this a niche where people are more scrolling and browsing? For example, if you're in clothing, right? People are more looking at different designs. You won't see the top three generally, unless everyone's the same, but you generally won't see the top three getting like all the market share because there's different designs. With product pages, you can specifically focus and target on products where you have an advantage, right? Price, reviews, quality. So maybe that could be a reason why it's converting. But one of the things I would look at is what does brand analytics look like? And also make sure that, you know, for everybody else, it sounds like you're doing it. If you're targeting keywords or if you're targeting ASINs, look at your placements and look at the results your placement are getting, because sometimes you're targeting ASINs and Amazon is just showing you on keywords anyway. And you're going to see when you look at your placement that you're still getting clicks from search. So it's not always the case that some people tell us, you know, I'm targeting products, I'm getting such awesome results. And then we go into the placement, we see that it's mostly keywords. So you need to understand actually where the placements are. It sounds like you're looking at it, but I would say could be the niche, or it could be how you are positioned next to the other competitors in top of search. And if you're not positioned well price or review wise, then you're not getting the conversion you can. Like if I launched fish oil, right, and I would put that on top of search, I'm gonna get my lunch eaten, right? Because I can't compete with the other people on top. And so my conversion is going to be really low. So you kind of have to see who else is there and can you compete? Okay. My launch market is UK. It's been 9 months. Sales are good, but organic order ratio is 35% only, while PPC is 65. Again, something I said, pretty common. Although ACOS is less than 22, which is not bad, but profits very less, we are not ranked on some high search volume keywords. So to rank on it, we have to spend on PPC extra. That's our PPC would be more high. What should be the solution in this case? So in this case, we generally try to break up goals into three categories: launch, rank and scale, or grow and maintain. Okay, launch is basically you're very aggressive, very targeted initially with your keywords, exact match, and the goal is just to rank organically. Profit is, you know, not really counted, and it's like a first month strategy. scale and rank is you really want to grow your top line sales, and that's the focus. And grow and maintain is like, I kind of want to keep my ACoS the same, but I still want to grow and I still want to maintain. So I would say choose, you know, some keywords. Maybe these are not the highest search volume, but choose some keywords that you're going to go after with top of search that you can get more aggressive on that won't impact your overall numbers too much. And then the rest of the keyword, don't focus on top of search if you're not getting the ACoS or the conversion that's good enough to have that ACoS. I mean, I would say overall, your results are not bad and you're 9 months into a product, which is not that long. You also sounds like haven't maybe yet, or maybe you, if you were in it still last Q4, it was more of a newer product. This Q4 should probably do a lot better and you can make up some of those profits. In Q4, you could probably raise price. You'll have a better conversion rate. But I would say focus on a few keywords where you can go top of search and then the rest. So don't do it across, you know, all the keywords so that it doesn't overall impact your numbers, you know, too much. But 65-35, again, not uncommon, especially the product is not, it's 9 months old, so it has some maturity, but depends on how many reviews you have. And your ACoS is good at 22%. So he didn't mention what his TACoS is, but I would say your numbers overall are not bad.
All right. So I guess that's it from the audience questions. So we have like 7 minutes left. And we have like at the end, we always ask our guest speaker to tell about what is the funniest thing happened in your Amazon journey.
Wow. I've had a lot of interesting experiences in my Amazon journey. I would say one is pretty funny and was also a lesson, and it's easier to laugh about it in hindsight than it is at the time. But in 2018, myself and two other guys, we launched a product, Pool Floats. And this was like not, it was a great time like to launch this product. And we even made some changes to the product. Like we added in a electric like pump to blow it up. A lot of them didn't come with it and you had to buy it separately. We added it in. We had this like amazing photo shoot of the product in Vegas with like, you know, models and stuff and a pool on it. And we ordered the product. We did an inspection. Inspection came out okay. And the product comes in. We put it up on Amazon. We had a few people that we knew kind of leave reviews just to get a few reviews going. And then, man, sales started to like come in and like take off. We were getting a lot of sales. And this was like probably, we probably launched it like, I don't know, it was maybe like April or so. Man, we had to make a pretty quick decision. Like, are we going to order more? Because if we still want to get in the season for summer, like we have to order more like now. It was like maybe March, April. So the season was just starting and we had to make that decision. So we said, okay, let's order more. We put in 30% deposit. About 2 weeks later, the reviews start coming in. And so we had a swan, okay? And the reviews start coming in with great product, but my swan is dead. And it was basically like a dead, deflated swan laying next to the pool. And people will put these reviews. And what happened with the product is that people blew it up. It for a day or two was good, and then it blew up. Okay. And we started all these reviews came in with pictures of dead swans on the listing, which was pretty funny, but basically killed the product. And the lesson that we learned there was that it's important to understand how to do an inspection the right way. So for this product, basically the way to do a proper inspection would probably be to blow up the product somewhere, blow up 10 of them, come back, leave it, come back 48 hours later and see that it's still alive, test it, make sure it didn't leak air. But we didn't have the experience in launching a product like this before. And overall, the market had like 3.5 stars because of like issues like this. But we just started getting like one star review after another. And we learned a lesson. It was pretty funny. And we had to give up that 30% deposit because we already paid deposit and couldn't do anything to get it back. We actually tried to file dispute with Alibaba, but we didn't get our money back. And the inspection that we did initially passed too, you know, so we couldn't even say like the inspection failed to dispute it.
Was it those big, huge swans that you sit on? Like, is like 2 or 3 times a human size?
Yes. Yeah. Big swans.
I've seen those.
Yeah. And they're really popular. At the time, there was a brand, Kangaroo, which was mostly probably still there, dominating, you know, a lot of the niche. But it was basically a lesson on understanding inspections and product quality, you know, better. And then we never relaunched a product. We lost a season, and we never relaunched a product. And, you know, also understanding certain niches are tougher in terms of product quality, because the overall reviews in the niche were mostly 3 to 3.5 stars. You'll see that with like balloons and other products like that, you know, have certain product quality issues that are hard to avoid. But that was pretty funny. There's probably, you know, I had another story where I went to, it was like one of my first experiences going to a factory in China, you know? So I get to the factory and I think, you know, okay, gonna get a tour of the factory and see the employees and stuff. And I get to the factory and okay, we get there. Okay, come to the office. We come to the office and they're pouring everyone tea and we're drinking tea. And every time I finish the tea, they pour me more tea and more tea, and we're sitting there. And then they said, okay, let's go around. We'll show you the different machinery. They go around, they take us to different machinery, bring us back to the office, more tea, pouring more tea, more tea. Then they take us to meet the employees. And they had a little ceremony where they're giving certificates, like the best employees of the month. Go back to the office, drinking more tea, you know. Then they take me to lunch. When we came back for lunch, bring me back to the office. They're drinking tea and smoking, you know. Which I found pretty funny. And, you know, this entire day was basically going between places and back to the office having tea. And then I kind of learned also that the factories will generally try to monopolize your entire day until nighttime. They took us out at night to some, you know, dinner place that had like carry, like singing and stuff. And I learned that, you know, they don't want you to visit other factories. So they'll generally try to monopolize your entire day. But they treat you very well.
So this is, I guess, let's go back to the tea part, because usually did you do that two finger thing? Like, give me more and more or?
I don't know, but you know, I think it was these small cups, you know, and every time I drank the tea, they just poured me more tea.
Because in the Chinese culture, if you drink it and then they don't have any more tea on there, then they think that, you know, they're not being, they're hospitable as they should. Right. And then later on, they also want you to be having fun. So then at nighttime, they want to take you out to drink and stuff. Usually it's about drinking. They want to get you drunk. And see, usually for like bigger sellers or something like that, or bigger opportunity, they want to get you drunk so that they can kind of understand what kind of person you are. Uh-huh. And in case in terms wise, you know, are you trustworthy? Or are you going to get drunk? And because when you get drunk, your real personality should come out.
Right.
So they wouldn't understand who you are.
Yes. Yeah. And I remember they brought out, in several places, they brought out special cold beers because they drink the beer like room temperature. I guess for health reasons, it's not supposed to be as good to drink cold. So
yes.
It was like a special treat, you know, to have a cold beer. But yeah, we did go out drinking.
Yeah, like the younger crowd nowadays, they drink cold beer, but the older crowd, like maybe the 30s, end 30s, they drink the warm beer still. Something with the chemistry, it takes energy for your body to cool down, warm down the beer or something.
I think in Chinese medicine, generally cold is not considered healthier or something to that effect. But yeah, I had a lot of good and fun experiences in China.
All right. So, Howard, you want to?
Well, let's just really do a serious question, but we don't have much time left. But what do you think about this thing called relevancy with PBC and also organic? What do you think of them? Are they two different things or one thing? Like one is for PPC relevance, and that you see with you're lowering your bids or your price for bid, as well as or organic relevancy.
Specifically, what meaning?
For ranking wise,
I mean, lowering your price, I think we know that price is a factor in the Amazon algorithm. So I think it helps you with ranking, lower price in general. I also think Amazon vendor gets some favorability in rankings too. Amazon as a seller. In terms of PPC relevancy, you do get better cost per click when you have a better click-through rate and conversion rate. Because ultimately, Amazon wants the best product to show up for the customer. right? So if you have a better click-through rate and conversion rate, you could be right next to somebody else. You could be in the number one position and paying less than the person in the number two position because you get a better click-through rate and conversion rate. And at times we've seen it difficult sometimes to even get there. If there's some people there that have really good results, it takes us more time in terms of bidding aggressively until we can replace somebody and get tested for the spot, because there could be some people there that are, we've seen this with sponsored brands that have a really strong position, and it takes time before Amazon will show our ad there. So that's, I guess, what I can say as far as, like, you know, relevancy. I mean, organic, obviously the same, right? Better conversion rates, better sales through a keyword, better conversion rates will lead to better ranking.
Zeeshan, you want to close up?
Yeah, we are like running out of time. We have actually passed our time. So thank you so much, everyone, for joining us today. And thank you so much, Laurent, for coming and sharing the awesome like information with us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. Really, really enjoyed it. And yeah, looking forward to listening to the other episodes.
All right. Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you all. Thanks, Bye. Everyone. Bye. Bye.
Do you want your products seen by more buyers on Amazon, Etsy, and other marketplaces? Do you want to get more traffic, make more sales, and scale your brand? Welcome to the Signalytics Podcast, Signal Code Unlocked, where we discuss what signals are needed to send to your customers, to the algorithms, to the ad platforms, in order to get your product seen, converting, and profiting fast. With your host, former top 50 seller on all of Amazon, the Professor Howard Tai. This is the Signalytics Podcast, Signal Code Unlocked.